You know, some years ago, I used to run, but I didn't start out running marathons. In fact, I started out running kind of hacking because I was smoking at the time. There's things I had to give up to be able to run as I wanted to run, and we are called to run a race. And the title for this is Run the Race with Endurance. And certainly we need endurance. Hebrews 10:36, we'll be reading through the New American Standard Bible throughout. For you have need of endurance, so that when you have done the will of Elohim, you may receive what was promised. So we're not just running to just run. I was running to kind of get healthy, to, I don't know, it seemed to be pretty good to, you know, be able to run out in the sun, and you know, it felt good. And I actually experienced that second wind, which runners talk about. It's like a runner's high, and it's something that your body, it's like endorphins that your body produces to help keep you going. And I think we have a second wind that's provided by Yahweh. It's not our own spirit, it's His spirit, which helps us to overcome. It helps us to put away those things which hinder us or can hinder us. And it helps us to focus on the task at hand. And of course, when we run, we think of races and such. And the Apostle Paul, of course, brought out the idea that we're running a race to win, that we're running to receive a crown, a prize, a reward. And so there is something at the end for us to be obtained. Hebrews 10:32 through 34, of course, some of us go through some intense hardships after being baptized. So it's not something that we can take lightly to think that we can just come into the faith and everything will be A-okay. It's not always A-okay. But if we keep our focus, if we strive to overcome and to do Yahweh's will, then in the end we have assurance. And we even have assurance now. But Hebrews 10:32 through 34, but remember the former days when, after being enlightened, you endured a great conflict of sufferings, partly by being made a public spectacle through reproaches and tribulations, and partly by becoming sharers with those who were so treated. For you showed sympathy to the prisoners and accepted joyfully the seizure of your property, knowing that you have for yourselves a better possession and a lasting one. You know, we even here have dealt with different things, like having our possessions taken by men we trusted, men that turned out to be devils in disguise. They rose up with different doctrines, teaching things that were strange. But Peter, I think it was Peter that said, you know, look, there'll be those that will rise up among you, trying to teach different things to lead people after them, because they're wanting to, you know, have a following. They're out for the wrong reason, trying to, you know, get people to follow them. But we have hope that things will be worked out, and we know that this is indeed the case. Hebrews 11 and verse 1. Now, faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. And when we talk about Yahshua giving his life so that we can have life more abundantly, I think we're talking about the future kingdom in which there will be eternal joy, happiness, these type of things. There won't be any more pain. There won't be any more suffering. And we read in Revelation 21, it talks about every tear will be wiped away. So when we go through suffering, we can think about the things that are coming to help us to get through and to endure and to overcome. Because this is all part of what we need to do to be able to attain that goal and win the prize. We realize that there is full assurance and hope, and that there are promises made. Hebrews 6:11 through 12. And we desire that each one of you show the same diligence so as to realize the full assurance of hope until the end, so that you will not be sluggish, but imitators of those who, through faith and patience, inherit the promises. What are the promises? Crown of life. Eternal life is promised. Life with eternal joy and happiness. Walking on a sea of glass. Walking in the Spirit, as a spirit. We walk in the Spirit today, but we are not actually, 100% spirit beings. Recall a science program in which they were talking about subatomic particles, and within his hands he was saying there's, trillions of subatomic particles that are going back and forth, and they have been able to isolate and see these things. And what they've noticed is they phase in and out of another realm, is what they've actually said, a dimension. So science continues to prove that there is a spiritual realm. It's one that we're not seeing. It's one we believe in. It's one that we kind of have a sense of through the Spirit of Yahweh, because we feel the promptings at times. We are reminded of Scripture, and we think, well, Yahweh must have just gave that to me, because, I wasn't really thinking about it necessarily, but it came to mind. Scripture shows us that we are to build up a reward in heaven. Genesis 15, 1 through 2. Of course, there's the blessings to Abraham, countless as the sands of the sea and the stars of the heaven, talking about his descendants. But Genesis 15, 1 through 2. After these things, the word of the Master came to Abram in a vision. Of course, his name was Abram before his name was changed, becoming a multitude, or father of a great multitude. Do not fear, Abram. I am a shield to you. Your reward shall be very great. Abram said, O Yahweh Elohim, what will you give me, since I am childless, and an heir of my house is Eliezer of Damascus? And of course, we understand that the promises are through Isaac, who had Jacob, and Jacob had 12 sons and became Israel. His name was changed. And we'll be given a new name, a name that probably denotes our character, or an attribute that we have. And it'll be something special, something that will be given on a stone if we overcome and are not blotted out of the book of life, which can happen, because if we decide to start running, make that commitment, get things out of our lives that can hinder us, and then we stop the race. We go off on the sidelines. We start getting involved with other things. Then we are no longer running the race, are we? If we're not running the race, we won't end up winning a prize. We'll be cast away, not considered worthy. But Abraham was promised that his descendants would be as the sands of the sea and as the stars of the heaven, and most scholars recognize that that's talking about physical people as well as the spiritual people. And we're striving to be that spiritual people who will be changed in the twinkling of an eye, as 1 Corinthians 15 talks about, as Paul describes. And it goes into some detail there. But, he says that we look through a glass darkly. We don't really fully understand what we will be like. But when we see Yahshua, we'll know what we'll be like, because we'll be like him. And he's already gone through this. He's already suffered. He's already ran the race, and he made it. And it gives us encouragement, because the one who is in us is stronger than the one who is in the world. And, if we're not struggling, if we're not fighting the good fight, then we're essentially being slothful and, have given up. But we're not to. We're to overcome and to be encouraged that someone has gone before us and is helping us even now. Matthew 5, 10 through 12. If we're not promoting Messiah, there probably won't be any persecution, but also no reward. Blessed are those who have been persecuted for the sake of righteousness. This would include the laws of Yahweh. For theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people insult you and persecute you. Why aren't you going and having a party with us? What's wrong with you? You used to get drunk with us all the time. Now you don't. Is there something wrong with you? They falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward in heaven is great. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you. or for in the same way they persecuted the prophets that were before you. Amazing. We're being lumped together with the prophets. There weren't many prophets, were there? Not many teachers of the word. Not many that followed Yahweh. In fact, when Yahshua started teaching the deeper things of the scripture, most left. There was only a handful. They couldn't handle it. They said, "What is this? What is he talking about? I'm out of here." Happens today. That's why I don't think we should be overbearing with people and try to give them too much all at once. I mean, we get excited and we start sharing everything with people. Well, you know, not everyone can handle the meat of the word. You know, the milk is needed at first. But how long are we to endure? There is an Australian who fasted 40 days and 40 nights to see if he could do it. Well, guess what? He did it. Of course, he went out and got some cactus juice and survived, I think, through eating some of that. And so it wasn't necessarily going completely without food and water. But he was a hefty man when he started, and he's pretty skinny when he ended. And I imagine when Yahshua ended his fast of 40 days and 40 nights, he was probably not as full of strength as he was, though he was full of spiritual strength. And that's when he was really tested hard. And I think as we gain ground, as we move forward, and as we think we're doing pretty good, smack, we can get hit fairly hard as a test to see what we'll do. Will we be able to overcome? Will we be able to endure? Will we be able to see past the difficulties and continue to run the race? These are all things we have to consider. It does say to count the cost even before you come in, because these things do happen. We get hit pretty hard at times. But, you know, we see examples like Joseph. He was in jail for like 2 years. But he had encouragement that, Yahweh was still there. You know, he believed in Yahweh and that he could see him through the difficulties. And sure enough, not only did he get through the difficulties, he was rewarded by being put over a great, a people there. So, you know, we can relate some of these things to future events that will occur. You know, some will be given a number of cities relating to, the different responsibilities that will be coming in the kingdom. There was a prisoner who started turning to Yahweh, and he was a pretty cruel prisoner to the guards, to other prisoners, and had quite a reputation. Well, Yahweh started working with him evidently, because he started learning about the feast days. He started learning about the Sabbath, about the clean, unclean foods and these type of things. And he stopped his behavior, or maybe I should say Yahweh woke him up to help him to stop his behavior, his bad behavior. So he started behaving more properly. Well, the guards didn't necessarily believe him. And they wanted to test him. And I'm sure Satan was probably involved in that, prompting the guards to try to discourage this prisoner who was turning himself around. Well, they ended up getting into a bit of a scuffle trying to push him. He didn't really resist, but they ended up taking one of his eyes out. So he proved himself, but he also suffered some loss. But with that loss, he's going to have some great gain, I do believe, if he continues. Now, it's not necessarily that he understood the sacred names or anything like that, but if he continues, certainly it will be brought to his attention, I'm sure. eventually. Matthew 24 and verse 13. The one who endures to the end, he will be saved. And you find people going around today, hey, we're saved. We're saved. We can do whatever we want because we're saved. And that's not what Scripture says. It says the one who endures to the end will be saved. And so, you know, we're not to take away or add to Yahweh's word. It says what it says, and it means what it says. So let's pay attention and do what it says. Because it's not just about believing. And we've already seen, I think we had a recent scripture reading, is Hebrews 3 or 4. It talks about those in the wilderness didn't believe. But it was essentially related to their disobedience. Their disobedience proved that they didn't believe Yahweh. So essentially, those that claim to have belief and they don't obey are essentially not believing, even though they say they're believing, which makes them what? A liar. 2 Corinthians 6, 4 through 10. In everything, commending ourselves as servants of Elohim, in much endurance and afflictions and hardship and distress and beatings and imprisonment and tumults and labors and sleeplessness and hunger and purity and knowledge, in patience and kindness and the Holy Spirit and genuine love, in the word of truth, in the power of Elohim, by the weapons of righteousness, for the right hand and the left, by glory and dishonor, by evil report and good report, regarded as deceivers and yet true, as unknown and yet well known, as dying, yet behold we live, as punished, yet not put to death, as sorrowful, yet always rejoicing, as poor, yet making many rich, as having nothing, yet possessing all things. What? Was Paul hard to understand at times? And yet we do understand what he's saying, don't we? There are physical and spiritual applications that he's getting into. And certainly when he's talking about running a race, he's not talking about a physical race. He's talking about a spiritual race. One in which we have to do physical things, but one in which definitely has a spiritual goal in mind. But submitting ourselves to persevering and enduring difficulties. This helps build us some character that will enter into the coming kingdom, because it's these type of things that will go in, not evil, not wrong, but good things, good character, good ways. And notice Luke 21 and verse 19. By your endurance, you will gain your lives. Goes back to Matthew 24 and verse 13. The one who endures to the end will be saved. It all fits. Yahweh knew what he was doing when he inspired men to write down his word. By your endurance, you will gain your lives. So do we need endurance? We can expect hardship. We can expect difficulties. But if we overcome them and are not overcome, then we'll have life. It's a promise. And others can gain life by our endurance even. 2 Timothy 2, 8 through 10, remember Yahshua the Messiah, risen from the dead, descendant of David, according to my evangel, for which I suffered hardship even to imprisonment as a criminal. But the word of Elohim was not in prison. For this reason I endure all things for the sake of those who are chosen, so that they also may obtain the salvation which is in Messiah, Yahshua, and with it eternal glory, eternal esteem. And that gets into eternal joy, happiness, no sadness, no problems. So it's worth enduring the difficulties now. And, you know, when I was training to run, I eventually got up to like 5 miles every other day I was running. But I had to give up stuff. I had to put it aside. I had to take time out to actually train to be able to get up to that level. I had to take the time out to do it. And when we're called into the faith, it's not just, you know, well, I'm believing and so That's all there is to it. No, there's things to do, and we can encourage one another to build one another up, to be able to work together, to be able to move forward together as a good front for Yahweh, as a good example, as ambassadors for Messiah and for his Father and for the coming kingdom. Because all these things that we consider good and right and true will be coming into the kingdom. And those things which we understand are wrong and incorrect and you know, essentially lies, those things will be not allowed in the kingdom. So if you're walking in a good way, those, you know, you're heading in the right way. But if you're walking in a wrong way, of course, it's going in a different direction. But the goal is the kingdom, and that was essentially the word presented early on, John the Baptist, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Yahshua the Messiah started preaching it as soon as he set the example of immersion and taught the disciples to do the same, and they went forth teaching the same thing. Well, did the Apostle Paul endure? I think we just read that. Acts 14 and 19 through 22. It says, but Jews came from Antioch and Iconium, and having won over the crowds, they stoned Paul and dragged him out of the city, supposing him to be dead. Is there going to be a time in which we will be speaking Yahshua and saying, look, his father's name is Yahweh, and we'll get hit? You know, if you go over to Jerusalem right now, that's exactly what will happen in some circles, because they don't want the name spoken there, and they will slap you physically. And these are these are Jewish rabbis that will do it. They feel that you know, it's well, it gets back to the doctrine of ineffability. It's too righteous or too good to even use, so shouldn't use it. Should cover it up. Doesn't even make sense. Acts 14, 19 through 22, we'll start from the beginning here. But Jews came from Antioch and Iconium, and having won over the crowds, they stoned Paul and dragged him out of the city, supposing him to be dead. But while the disciples stood around him, he got up and entered the city. The next day he went away with Barnabas to Derbe. After they had preached the evangel to that city and had made many disciples, they returned to Lystra and to Iconium and to Antioch, strengthening the souls of the disciples, encouraging them to continue in the faith, and saying, through many tribulations, we must enter the kingdom of Elohim. Well, they had firsthand experience. They knew what they were going through, and it wasn't pretty. We've actually got it pretty easy right now, compared to what could happen, compared to what is eventually going to come, because we're told in Matthew chapter 24 what is coming. The Messiah said they'll drag you to the courts, and they'll flog you, and they'll do these type of things. Of course, he already went through that, so he knows, and we can endure. And it's been said that torture, if you can resist or endure the torture, for the rest of it is a piece of cake. It's that first 5 minutes that's really difficult. But if you can get past the first 5 minutes, you can keep going. So I hope that's encouraging in a weird way. But, you know, we have to realize that these things could be coming to our door very soon. But it could be that we're talking years in the future yet still for that type of thing to happen. We'll see. It's all in Yahweh's hands, and he promises not to give us more than we can handle. And sometimes I, in my frailty, I wonder, you know, wow, okay, I believe you, I believe you, I believe you. I have to keep telling myself I believe you. Because it gets hard at times, and it gets difficult. But we're called to endure, and You know, so we do, and we sometimes we put up a good, you know, we grin and bear it, I suppose is the saying, but it's for a reason, it's for a purpose, and we're all going to have to make up our minds to do what's right whenever the decision comes before us. I mean, we're making decisions all the time, but we're going to have to make the commitment and stick with it. Luke 8 and verse 15. But the seed in the good soil, these are the ones who have heard the word in honest and in a good heart and hold it fast and bear fruit with perseverance. So again, we have this idea of persevering, enduring. But there's also the idea of, you know, being honest about the word that we're receiving, taking it, having a good heart about it, and holding fast. It's like Caleb and Joshua, the son of Nun. Why did they enter into the promised land over the others? They had a different spirit. They had a good heart about them. They decided, you know, well, this is what Yahweh wants, so we're going to do it. And we're not going to make excuses. We're going to move forward. Now, this one's really hard, but Romans 5, 1 through 5. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with Elohim through our Master Yahshua Messiah, through whom we have also obtained our introduction by faith into his grace in which we stand, and we exult in the hope of glory of Elohim. And not only this, but we also exult in our tribulations, knowing that tribulation brings about perseverance, and perseverance proven character, and proven character hope. And hope does not disappoint, because the love of Elohim has been poured out within our hearts through the Holy Spirit who was given to us, or which has been given to us. Now I say that's a hard one to bear, because when we're going through the tribulation, when we're going through the testing, when we're going through the hardship, our flesh wants to give up, doesn't it? My flesh wants to give up and say, okay, I've had enough, I'm out of here, or I'm going to do something else. I don't want to deal with the stress. None of us do. None of us want to deal with the difficulties. But we're called to endure. We're called to overcome. And we know that whatever Yahweh is putting before us, it's for a reason. And the reason is to build our character, to help us to overcome, so that we can be prepared for the coming kingdom. That we can be prepared to be able to sit down on Yahshua's throne, which is still mind-boggling to me. How we could be given such a right to do so. But that's the promise you read in Revelation 2 and 3 there. Jeremiah and other prophets endured persecution and sometimes hardship for the word of Yahweh. And so will we. James 1 and verse 12. Blessed is the man who perseveres under trial, for once he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life which the Master has promised to those who love him. So we're told, being from the beginning, that essentially we will be given a crown of life if we overcome to the end. And this is one reason we really have to endure and do what's right. Oh, I see what I've done here. I've got my pages mixed up. Okay. Let's go over to James 5, 7 through 11. Therefore, be patient, brethren, until the coming of the Master. The farmer waits for the precious produce of the soil, being patient about it, until it gets early and late rains. You too be patient, strengthen your hearts, for the coming of the Master is near. Do not complain, brethren, against one another, so that you yourselves may not be judged. Behold, the judge is standing right at the door. As an example, brethren of the suffering and patience, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Master. We count those blessed who endured. You have heard of the endurance of Job and have seen the outcome of the Master's dealings, that the Master is full of compassion and is merciful. So we remember what happened to Job. Satan went before Yahweh and said, "Hey, let me get my hands on him, and I'll show you that he'll curse you right to your face." Didn't happen. In fact, Yahweh said, "Yahweh giveth, Yahweh taketh away. Blessed be the name of Yahweh." And that has to be our attitude towards any difficulty or tribulation, troubles that we have, because it could be Satan is doing the same thing, going before Yahweh and saying, "Hey, look, the servant over here, I bet you I can turn him against you." And, you know, we know Satan is out like a roaring lion trying to devour and kill Yahweh's people. Spiritually, I mean, a person can go on living physically, but, you know, Jude talks about clouds without water. There's different descriptions for a person who doesn't have Yahweh's spirit anymore. And that's what Satan is after. He's out to destroy the, not just physically, but spiritually, the people. So what are we to do? Well, fight the good fight. We put on the armor of Yahweh. You know, say I can just imagine Paul being in prison when he's writing that and seeing the soldier there, and he's thinking spiritually. He's thinking about the armor that soldier has. He's thinking how that can be related to himself with Messiah, arming him for the battle that he's in. And he's sharing that with others so that they can be encouraged as well. We can resist Satan. It says he'll flee. And indeed, he doesn't want to waste his time with someone that he can't get at or get to. We can stand firm in the faith, and we can certainly run to win the race. 1 Corinthians 16:13-14, be on the alert, stand firm in the faith, act like men, be strong, let all that you do be done in love. I recently wrote someone recently, and I basically told him, you know, be a man. And I didn't even think about any scriptures concerning this, but Paul is saying, you know, act like men, be strong, be courageous. Don't let life overcome you. And let everything be done in love. And of course, there are things that we are to avoid and overcome. Galatians 5:19-21. Now the deeds of the flesh are evident, which are immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, outbursts of anger, disputes, dissensions, factions, envying, drunkenness, carousing, and things like these, of which I forewarn you. Such are just as I have forewarned you, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of Yahweh. They will not. We need Yahweh's Spirit within us to allow the fruits of the Spirit, which are also in the same chapter being spoken of, self-control, love, these type of things. Essentially, love is encompassing. But if you do any of these fleshly things, then you're outside of that Spirit. And it talks about there are no laws against the fruits of the Spirit. There's no laws for having self-control, against having self-control and these type of things. But there are laws against idolatry. There's laws against sorcery. There's laws against these things of the flesh. So we have to consider the Bible as a whole and understand what's being said here. 1 Timothy 6:10-11. Some get caught up with the love of money. For the love of money is a root of all sorts of evil. It's a fleshly thing. And some, by longing for it, have wandered away from the faith and pierced themselves with many griefs. But flee from these things, you man of Elohim, you people of Elohim, and pursue righteousness. Righteousness, faith, love, perseverance, gentleness. Of course, this is speaking to Timothy, who the Apostle Paul was instructing and helping to establish assembly there where he is at. But, we can take these lessons home with us and think about and meditate upon these things. We can selah them, as is found in the Psalms at times, which is basically meaning pause. And I was talking to Elder John. He's saying that it also kind of has the meaning of meditation. So we're to meditate upon these things and consider them, and how we, can overcome with the help of Yahweh within us, and by studying His Word, by doing these things that are right, and avoiding those things which are wrong. But we're to flee from the lust of the fleshly things. And, I wonder how many of those who have left the faith to pursue, lifestyle of the rich and famous are actually now regretting it, because some have. And, of course, with the economy being the way it is, it doesn't look so good. But we have spiritual emphasis in the New Testament, but there are also good examples that we can look at of endurance in the Old Testament as well. One of the oldest, of course, is Job, who endured the loss of his family and health, but all that was restored to him double. We have Moses in the wilderness, who put up with the complaints of the people. He had difficulties, so he endured. King David endured by continuing to have a repentant attitude. Even though he messed up, he continued to strive to do Yahweh's will. That was a little different than Saul, and scholars believe Saul is probably going to end up in the lake of fire because he just wouldn't repent. He just kept doing wrong, and he would get worse with his wrong. And he lost the spirit that Yahweh had given him. And of course, there's Elijah, the prophet, who was certainly concerned about his life. He stated that he essentially was the only one left, similar to Enoch. Enoch expressed the same thing. Well, Yahweh translated both of them out of the areas of harm, so he protected them. He didn't give them more than they could handle. But they did express their concern, their want and desire for help, and Yahweh provided. Jeremiah and other prophets endured persecution and sometimes hardship for the word of Yahweh, and so will we. Paul had this to say in a letter. Well, actually, I think, did I already go over that? No. Let's go to 2 Timothy 3:10. Now you followed my teaching, conduct, purpose, faith, patience, love, perseverance, persecutions, and sufferings, such as happened to me at Antioch, at Iconium, and Lystra. What persecutions I endured out of them all. Out of all of them, the Master rescued me. Indeed, all who desire to live righteous lives in Messiah Yahshua will be persecuted. Did you hear that? All who desire to live righteous lives in Messiah Yahshua will be persecuted. It's not just believing, it's actually living the righteous life in Messiah, which brings persecution. And you understand it once you start living a right and correct way, because you'll lose a job, you'll lose respect from your family, you'll be ousted from places you thought, well, shouldn't be a problem, because you're obedient to the Father, you're holding fast to His ways, seeking after the kingdom and His righteousness. It says, but evil men and impostors will proceed from bad to worse. Is that happening today? There's some pretty bad stuff happening out there, and I think as it gets worse, our light will be able to shine even brighter. That is Yahweh's light within us. It says these people are going from bad to worse, will be deceiving and being deceived. You, however, continue in the things you have learned and become convinced of, knowing from whom you have learned them, and that from childhood you have known the sacred writings. Of course, he's talking to Timothy still here, but it can relate to us. But these things which are able to give you the wisdom which leads to salvation through faith, which is in Messiah Yahshua. All scripture is inspired by Elohim and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, so that the man of Elohim may be adequate, equipped for every good work. Every good work. Where do we get every good work from? Well, of course, the Spirit prompts us. It helps us. But we go directly to Yahweh's Word. And the word that they had was the Old Testament. The Old Testament, which many preachers today say is not for us. It's just a book for, good stories. It's just wrong, because this was the instructions for the people. This was given to Timothy, who was going to be helping with an assembly, and he was being told, keep sound doctrine, make sure you teach out of Yahweh's word, because this is where you're going to get your good works from. He continues on in 2 Timothy 4:1-7, I solemnly charge you in the presence of Elohim and of Messiah Yahshua, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing in his kingdom, preach the word, be ready in season and out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with great patience and instruction, for a time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. And brethren, I think we're in that time even now. But wanting to have their ears tickled, they will accumulate for themselves teachers in accordance to their own desires. You can be prosperous. You can have all. You can have it all now, is what they're telling you out there. And it will turn away the ears from the truth and will turn aside to myths. But you, be sober in all things. Endure hardship. Do the work of an evangelist. Fulfill your ministry. For I am ready, I'm already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time for my departure has come. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the course. I have kept the faith. Follow my example as I have followed the Messiah. Don't just believe, because even the devils believe. Isn't that what Yahweh's word says? Paul at one time was blind, both physically and spiritually. He endured much after his blindness was lifted. But he could also see the light at the end of the tunnel. He knew of the coming kingdom. He knew to focus on acquiring Yahweh's righteousness in his life. He knew that if he didn't give up, but lived accordingly to in the Spirit and in the truth, that there would be a great reward in due time. And in running this race we're in, we need to have the same focus and endurance with confidence, as did all those who died in the faith. We eventually all die. We all pass away. Our life is a short breath, like the flowers that we see out. They come and go. Carrie and I were amazed to see all the flowers that were at the place we're at now. But they're all gone except for this one tree that was a late bloomer. Sometimes we're late bloomers too. That's okay. As long as we have our focus correct and we're moving in the right direction, that's what's important. Okay, we'll close out with this scripture. Hebrews 12, 1 through 3. Let's consider this throughout the week, throughout our lives. Therefore, since we have so great a cloud of witnesses surrounding us, let us also lay aside every encumbrance and the sin which so easily entangles us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, fixing our eyes on Yahshua, the author and perfecter of faith, who for the joy set before him endured the stake, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of Elohim. For consider him who has endured such hostility by sinners against himself, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. And brethren, I say this as much to myself as I say to you. Don't give up. Don't let Satan have his way with you, because there is eternal life at stake, and it's going to be out of this world.